Well, now I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Smith, who's not only a teacher, but is also author of a trilogy of books based around the secrets of Aldwych Strand. The first of which, The End of the Pier Affair, has already been published, and the second in the series, The 1949 Affair, is going to be out later this year, followed by a third and final book in the service, in the series, I should say, provisionally titled The Cutthroat Alley Affair. So, hi, Sarah. Welcome to Felix FM.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Now, are these the first books that you've published?
Books, yes. Stories, no.
Right.
I had a series of fan fiction published in the 1990s, but then work, life and everything else got in the way, and I've only just come back to doing this kind of thing now.
Right. So what subject do you teach, as a matter of interest? Let's get that.
I started out, because like most teachers, you don't always end up teaching the subject that you train for, but I started out teaching history.
Yes.
And in the last 4 or 5 years, I've spent most of my time teaching English.
Oh, right. So you could amalgamate the two and have English history.
Exactly.
Right. So anyway, what got you into writing?
I've always had stories running through my head because I've always been reading.
Right.
As I frequently say to the kids, the more you read, the better the writer you become. Not that I think they believe me. And so I've always had stories and creative things just teeming around inside the brain. But last year I took on acting head of English for a maternity cover. And while I know all teachers say, oh, it's stressful, I just found I needed something to take me away from the day-to-day sort of running of a department. And that's where the writing came back in, with a vengeance.
And as a teacher, are the books that you're writing at the moment aged at the group that you're teaching? Same age group?
Sort of, but not really. I'd say that the cut-off lower range is about 14, 15. Certainly with the second book in the series, it deals with some very dark issues, and it's in places quite violent because the Nazis have taken over England and they're not exactly the nicest of people. That means that when you're dealing with that kind of thing, you've got to think, well, I can't take it much lower. But I have a reader who is 94.
Right.
So it ranges the whole gamut, and they're sort of picking up, my adult readers are picking up more on the sort of the jokes and the knowledge and the sort of society comments rather than the younger readers who are just going along for the sort of action and adventure of it.
So what is the age group that you actually teach?
I teach, well, basically, as I always say, hormones, 11 through to 19.
Oh, right, okay. So where did you get the idea from to write these particular books?
Well, I've always been fascinated, as a historian, about the idea of what if. So what if things had turned out differently? And I used to pose for the kids the question, what if the gunpowder plot had succeeded? Because it's one of those big turning points in history. So that then gets you thinking about, are there such things as fixed points in time? Are there things that have to happen? Are there people that are so important that they have to be in a certain place at a certain time? And you then look at it and you think, well, how come some people beat their sort of problems of birth and not being in the right class to get to a certain point and do some amazing things? And that really started me thinking that if you went in and changed something at that point, what would happen? What would then be the result of that?
Because the stories are a little bit about, well, as you said, time travel and espionage as a mix. So tell us just a little bit about it without giving too much away.
Oh, right. Well, espionage, I'm not overly sure about. We've got spies.
Oh, right.
And we've got spy masters and we've got soldiers.
Well, that's espionage.
Yes, but it's not James Bondy espionage.
Oh, right.
Even though he might turn up. And, of course, there is time travel.
Yep.
And we do have a top secret military base in the London Underground. But it's more of Lucy and Mark's reactions and interactions with the people that they meet and the times that they're in, because there's two 21st century Canvey kids who are suddenly in the midst of the early 20th century with the People's Budget happening and the big upheaval in politics, and they're suddenly having to deal with it and knowing things that they shouldn't know, and not at times being able to stop these things. Because Lucy's on the Titanic and she can't tell people what's going to happen.
So Lucy and what was the name of the guy?
Mark.
Mark. They're your hero and heroines. What sort of ages are they set at?
They're around about 17 when the stories start. They've just left school and they're just into college. So they're at the older end of that age group. And as the stories progress, they go into their early 20s.
I see. So they do actually age, even though right. So one is inclined to ask, well, what happens in their real lives? Are they not missed by their families?
Well, they've gone down to the end of Southend Pier and they've gone into the disused section at the bottom, and
that's it. They're going to avoid.
Yeah.
Right. So now, when you write anything involving time travel, you're going to have to do a heck of a lot of research into how people behaved at any given time, assuming you're going back in time, what they ate, drank, the prices, and how a particular place might have looked at that time. And that's going to take an awful lot of research. And it also occurs to me, I mean, obviously, if you go back in time, you're suddenly going to find that the money that you've got in your pocket is pointless and useless. So that's going to create another problem.
It does.
How on earth do you set about that?
Well, fortunately, having done so much history, you've got a basic starting point of the main events. So you can look at that. And the internet's amazing, especially for photographs, because so much is now available. So when I was researching the siege of Sydney Street and I wanted to look at the photographs, that was the ideal place to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then you've got loads and loads of books on subjects. We went down, and because you can't go without visiting certain areas and doing a lot of actual on-the-ground research, we went to the Titanic exhibition when it was on in Southampton. For the second book, a lot of it is set in Blenheim Palace. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of Saturdays and weekends going around there and looking at the locations. And because the third book is set in 1888, in that summer where the Ripper murders are going on, we've done the Ripper tour and doing a lot of walking around that bit of London to really get your head around what street goes into what was there and what's not, because they're walking the streets and they've got their reference points of the 21st century and going, well, that wasn't there, that was an alley, that would, you know.
Yes.
Ooh, where are we now type idea.
Now, you've incorporated some real people into the books, into the trilogy, and place them in, as you said, in alternate times. So how do you do that whilst at the same time keeping the whole thing believable?
Well, you've got to actually do enough research to be able to know how these characters reacted in certain situations. So as I said, the siege of Sydney Street, we know from the records that Churchill was rash, madcap, almost sort of wanting to go out and get himself involved in the action.
Right.
So knowing that actually made it easy to put him into that situation. And in the second book, he's beset by Churchill, that is, his fears and all the uncertainties that we know from the records that he actually had in real life. So grounding him in his own background and his own sort of understanding of himself made it easy. For Lloyd George, the Chancellor in 1908, the fact that he was a womaniser, you can't get away from, so you use that. But you can then sort of change some of the events around it. You can keep someone in a job longer than they are. From Mark and Lucy's point of view, the world they come from, Ireland never became independent.
Right.
So therefore, I can change that at the start. Mm-hmm. So in their world, because Ireland never became independent, Lloyd George was killed in 1909. And then saving him changes the history to something similar to what we've got. And then any mistakes I make, well, it's still not quite our reality.
Mm. See. Now, something that always interests me, you've dreamt up individual characters of your own. Mm-hmm. How do you keep them in character? Do you base them on people that you already know?
Not people precisely. Mm-hmm. It's personality types. You know, if I said to you, strict teacher, mm-hmm. Geeky popular kids,
yeah.
You'd automatically have a picture in your mind from your own experience. Mm. So you use those kinds of images and those kinds of ideas. Keeping in character...
Yes.
I'm lucky. They narrate an awful lot of the stories. So therefore, I find I end up talking like them. Mm-hmm. And thinking, no, this particular character wouldn't use that word, wouldn't use that phrase. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can put yourself into their shoes. And it's going back and actually thinking, would they say it? No, they wouldn't. Mm. You know, mm. Mark very rarely talks in full sentences, and he uses a lot of wouldn'ts, couldn'ts,
yes.
and a lot of estuary English, whereas Lucy gets progressively posher as the stories grow.
Well, as you said, they start at something like 17 mm. and are going on by the time it finishes at 20. So they themselves will change.
Yes.
Quite dramatically. Mm. And that's, I would have thought that's another complication in a way.
It is, because... anyone who knows teenagers know they change overnight and
yes.
they're inconstant. But
yes.
their values and their thoughts and their attitudes stay the same. They just change perspective on how they deal with the situation, and they realise the things they could do at 16 maybe not the right things to do.
Hmm.
Or at least Lucy learns that. The journey for Mark is harder.
Right. It usually is for blokes. So, as we said at the outset, The End of the Pier Affair is out now, and The 1949 Affair, the second book, is going to be published shortly. Do you have a publication date for that yet?
Yes. My publisher tells me he's looking to go for the end of June, beginning of July, to capitalise on the summer holidays.
Right. And what about the third one?
Well, he's nagging me, as publishers do. But we're looking probably for this time next year, so
right.
2015 Easter.
And where can the titles be obtained, and what are the current prices in the idea?
Okay, well, they are on Amazon.
Yep.
And on Barnes & Noble for some strange and bizarre reason.
Right.
It's Kindle and paperback.
Right.
The Kindle version is £1.53. Mm-hmm. The paperback is £4.99. But that is subject to change, because my publisher is a new kid on the block, and he's constantly expanding where he's putting the books.
Right.
But he's actually taking the route of going down the e-book market. Uh-huh. So it will go on to all e-publishing formats
right.
pretty soon.
Fine. Now, I think I'm right in saying that when this trilogy is complete, you're going to be embarking on a series of crime fiction novels set at the turn of the century, sort of Sherlock Holmes time or whatever. Will these be similarly targeted at the same age group, or are you going for a more mature audience? I know you said that you've got people who are reading these books up to the age of 94, but I would have thought, having heard what you said, that they're probably aimed for a slightly younger group.
Yes, the Symington Bird mysteries are going to be aimed at an older audience.
Right.
The historical base of them is that they're cold cases and unsolved murders from the turn of the century.
Oh, I see.
So
real ones.
Real ones.
Yes.
So therefore, the nature of them is that they are, in cases, gruesome. The murderers that they think committed them are fiendish, very intriguing personalities.
Yeah.
But the idea is that with our fascination for pathology and autopsies, then there's going to be a sort of a far more grittier approach in them.
Right.
Though that said, I've just been on the Ripper tour, and there was a 13-year-old American lad who could not wait to get his hands on the Mary Nichols crime scene photographs. So while we may have to sort of think 17...
Yes.
At the bottom line, I think we're going to have to be more careful about what my 94-year-old thinks
right.
at the top end
right.
and be careful of the older audience.
Do you have any idea yet how many books you're going to have in that series, or is it too soon?
Oh, no, I've been signed up for 3.
Oh, you've got signed up for 3 already?
Already.
But you could do lots of...
Yes.
I
think he's waiting to see how they go.
Yeah,
Because obviously the crime fiction market, if you can crack it, is the place to be.
Absolutely. Well, look, Sarah, many thanks for popping in to see us today. Good luck with all of those books and, of course, your new term, which starts tomorrow.
Thank you.
I can see that went down well.